A grace and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This Sunday we begin a summer-long sermon series on the Apostles' Creed. And as long as the summer is, it's not actually quite long enough to hit every line individually, so we'll have to group some phrasings of the Apostles' Creed together. And we do this because the Apostles' Creed is one of the oldest statements of the church that isn't specifically Scripture, though it's all based on Scripture. And it's important because it gives us a distinction of exactly what we believe. And this morning, though, we focus just simply on two words, I believe, the first words of the creed. And I think the creed was originally written in Latin. That's just one word. It's credo. I believe, and that's why we get the word creed. When you say those words, I believe, there's kind of two primary ways you can mean that phrase. And the first way is you can say it as a matter of acknowledging that there is something there, that acknowledging the existence of something or agreeing with something, and you're assenting to something as it exists. For instance, you can say, I believe there is a railing right there. Or, in this case, I believe God exists. And when you say that, you can kind of just leave it there. And much of the world will say, I believe in God, as though they're saying, I believe God exists, and we'll just leave it there. There's nothing that goes beyond it. But I would say that's more of a first step when we say these words, I believe. Because from there, for us as Christians, we take it a step further. We take it as Jude illustrated for us. It's not just saying, I believe my dad is behind me to catch me. But there's a trust that goes with it, a faith. I not only believe dad is there to catch me, but I will trust that he will catch me and go and take that step of following. There's faith, there's belief as a trust. In the case of God, I not only believe God exists, but I believe God will hold me up. I believe that God does something for me, that God is active somehow in my life, the life of others, and the life of this world, that there's a trust that's involved in this. A good illustration of this comes from actually a news story from Grand Forks. Five young people, and oddly, two of them I know pretty well, were on a balcony in Grand Forks that collapsed underneath them. And four of them very severely injured, one of them very, very severely injured, but they're all doing well at this point. But I suspect that they went through this process as they went to their balcony. Imagine you have a balcony, or you're in a fourth floor apartment building and there's a balcony there. You can look out the window and you can see that there's a balcony, and in your mind you're processing this. You're saying, I believe that balcony exists. I believe it's there. Trust is actually going and stepping out on the balcony and trusting that it will hold you up. You're engaging in an act of trust. You're trusting that the engineers designed this thing in the correct way. You're trusting that carpenters put this thing together in the appropriate way, that they followed the directions of the engineers. You're trusting also that they used quality materials, and you're maybe even trusting that the apartment owner is inspecting it from time to time to make sure that it's there. Walking out onto a balcony, you first start with assent, that you agree, you acknowledge it's there, then you go from assent into trust, trusting that this structure will hold you up. The creed has this in mind when we say, I believe. We are not only acknowledging that God exists, or even that he exists as God the Father, as Jesus the Son, as God the Holy Spirit. But we are acknowledging not only that he exists, but that we trust in him. And throughout the summer, as we talk about the Creed, we'll talk about how we trust in God the Father. We'll talk about how we trust in Jesus the Son and how we trust in the Holy Spirit and what they do and provide for us. It's all about, will God hold me up? A good example of this is from our reading in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 15. In this passage, Christianity is exploding. People are coming to Christ. They're converting to Jesus, to faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And this movement to Jesus started as purely just a Jewish thing. Jews were the first to start converting to Christ. But now the Jewish converts are faced with a problem. All of a sudden, a lot of non-Jewish people are converting to Jesus, and the Jewish converts don't know what to do with them. They're not sure if they should require them to do certain things, to obey the law of Moses in the same way that the Jews always have. And that part of that, a big part of that in this discussion, is whether non-Jewish converts to Jesus should be circumcised. And so they have this argument, and they kind of have their first church council meeting in Jerusalem as they discuss what's going on. And when you strip it all down, the crux of their discussion is whether Jesus is enough to hold them up, or do I need to do something also to help hold myself up? It all comes down to this. Do I trust, do I have faith that Jesus is enough for my salvation? That's what their problem is. And thankfully, through the leading of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit speaking through Peter, Peter gives that great confession. And he says, yeah, it is enough. Faith in Jesus and Jesus alone is what saves us. It's not our obedience to the law. It's not circumcision. It is faith in Christ alone. We put our trust for all that we are in Christ alone. When you look at the Creed, and as we say it here in a few minutes, you'll notice it says almost nothing about us. It doesn't say anything about what we do, except maybe that we commune together as saints. It tells us everything about what God does for us. If you were to look in the small catechism, which you probably studied in confirmation at some point, Luther in the small catechism starts the catechism out by talking about the Ten Commandments. And he does this to show us just how rotten we are, how disobedient to God we are, and how much we need the Lord. From there, he goes into the Apostles' Creed to show us what God has done for us. If the first part of the small catechism could be considered a sermon, the Ten Commandments is the law, the Apostles' Creed is the gospel, what God has done for you. The Apostles' Creed shows us in whom we put our trust. We put our trust in God the Father, the Creator, the Maker of heaven and earth, who provides for us all that we have, all that we need, is the true Father for us. We put our trust in Jesus, our Savior, who was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, died, was crucified, buried, ascended, raised and ascended for you. We put our trust in the Holy Spirit, who calls us, enlightens us, sanctifies us, and keeps us in the faith. The Apostles' Creed is our gospel. It is what we believe. It's what we trust. It shows us who we have our faith in. We might find ourselves at times like the man in the gospel text who is backed into a corner of faith, and he doesn't know what to do, and he just is struggling with his son who is in his demon possessed, and the disciples can't even do anything about it. And he goes to Jesus and says to Jesus, "If you can do something, have compassion on us." And Jesus says, "If I can, all things are possible to those who believe." You might find yourself responding someday as the man does, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." I think the Apostles' Creed are words to help us in those times of unbelief. When we're struggling with maybe doubts and what we believe in general, or we're struggling because life is hitting us in a hard way and we just don't know what to say, the Apostles' Creed is there for us to confess a faith that sometimes we might be struggling with, but it gives us words that we so desperately need to say before God, our Father, our Savior, and the Spirit. So I hope this summer we can learn well about the Creed and know what God has done for us as Father, as Son, and as Spirit. Let us pray. Gracious and Almighty Father, we give you thanks for your sacred word that you give us in Holy Scripture, and all the things that you reveal to us about yourself. We especially thank you for the ways that you've revealed yourself to us through Jesus Christ. And we thank you that you have given us this summary of it all in the Apostles' Creed, that we might confess where and in whom our faith and trust lies. Help us, O Lord, in those times where we have our doubts, where we have our struggles, where we have unbelief. Be with us in our unbelief and give us more faith. We pray this in your name. Amen.